Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. Walker Wildman here, Fred Jackson. Steve Jordahl is joining us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
That was probably the quickest, or shortest amount of time to get to Steve Jordahl in Today's Issues history.
Yeah, I know. That was really there.
We usually like to chase a few rabbit trails and then...
Just maybe one of the reasons is the person that it's sitting to my left is my boss and not your boss.
True.
That could be one of the reasons.
Yeah, well, but anyways, a lot of news. Teresa on Facebook said, it would be great if y'all, talking about American Family Radio, sponsored another Turn Off the TV Week or Turn Off the Tech Week or Day. Exclamation point. So good recommendation there, Teresa. Maybe we can do that sometime in the future. I know when my grandfather did it in the 1970s, it was very popular. And at the time, you know, there wasn't smartphones and all that. You could easily just turn off the TV and that was
quiet.
It. Yeah, right. That was the only source of technology coming into the house there. So if I know they some of these web providers, these internet providers have a parental setting that you can cut off the internet into your house.
Yep.
If you want to have dinner and get the kids off the iPad or something, you just cut off the internet in the house. So, or you can just go unplug it either way. But anyways, a lot of interesting news stories today, Steve. Go ahead and hit us with what you got.
Why don't we go back to Ambassador Haley resigning? I wanted to play you a little bit of her reasoning that she said when she was talking with the president. This is from this press conference a little bit ago. This is clip 11.
I'm not leaving until the end of the year. My goal is that we make sure that everything is in good place and for the next ambassador to come in. But it's a great day in the United States, and I'm proud to have been part of the team. Now, I don't have anything set on where I'm going to go. I think that the main thing was I was governor for 6 years, and we dealt with a hurricane, a thousand-year flood, a church shooting, a school shooting. There was a lot. And then to come in and do 2 years of Russia and Iran and North Korea, it's been 8 years of intense time, and I'm a believer in term limits. I think you have to be selfless enough to know when you step aside and allow someone else to do the job. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
It's been an honor of a lifetime. And I will say this for all of you that are going to ask about 2020. No, I'm not running for 2020. I can promise you what I'll be doing is campaigning for this one. So I look forward to supporting the president in the next election.
That's so good.
There you go. So,
classy.
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, on the conservative end of things saying, are you sure this is the time? Because, I mean, if you listen to her reasoning about the stress that she's been under for the last 7-8 years now or whatever, we understand. I think that you know, anybody can kind of say that they need a break from that. But, man, was she doing a good job.
Yeah, and
at the
UN. She made a good point about term limits there, Fred, because, you know, oftentimes the politicians run on term limits and then they stay in office for 30 years. So,
You're talking about the U.S. Senate?
Yeah.
We've got 85, 86-year-olds up there. And
been in there since Reagan.
They've been there forever and ever. And as we talked about, you know, it came up every now and then during the judiciary hearing for Brett Kavanaugh that you had people like certain senators you know, why don't you go home and spend time with your grandchildren?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you still in Washington droning on about things? Go live that life, you know, that you being a senator has taken you away from your home for so many years. But I'm not sure why they want to hang on.
Yeah.
Power. It's a hard thing to give up.
I guess that's what it is, but kudos again. I am such a fan of Nikki Haley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kudos again. She's such a bright, brilliant lady, a wonderful leader, did a great job in South Carolina and has done a fantastic job. We were saying in the first hour, Steve, what a change that Nikki Haley made in the U.S. representation at the United Nations compared to Samantha Powers, who was Barack Obama's appointee there. Samantha Powers, I don't think you go any further left. She was no friend of Israel. Nikki Haley comes in. One of the first markers she put down is that she was not going to put up with the nonsense in the way that Israel has been treated in the United Nations, mm-hmm. being blamed every time Israel defended itself from being attacked by Islamic terrorists, Israel got the blame.
Mm. Yeah.
Israel was told to back off in its defense, and she said, we're not going to do this anymore.
Right.
We are going to defend Israel.
And one of the things that I didn't bring in that she said, she kind of outlined all the progress that they'd made at the UN. And one of the things she said was, the world might not always like us, but they respect us. Mm. They know that when we say we're going to do something, whether it be chemical weapons in Syria or sanctions in North Korea and Iran, they know that we're going to follow through and we're going to do it. And she says it's new for the UN. It was interesting. I wanted to play the press asked the president a couple things afterwards. There was one interesting exchange. I wanted to play Hillary Clinton had some things to say about the Brett Kavanaugh swearing in yesterday. Let me first play for you clip 13. This is what Hillary had to say when she was talking with CNN's Christiana Amanpour. It's airing today.
What was done last night in the White House was a political rally. It further undermined the image and integrity of the court. But the president's been true to form. He has insulted, attacked, demeaned women throughout the campaign, really for many years leading up to the campaign, and he's continued to do that.
So a reporter asked the president this, cut 12.
What's your response to Hillary Clinton saying last night swearing in that Judge Kavanaugh was a more political event than it was a national event?
I guess that's why she lost. She doesn't get it. She never did. I knew that a long time ago. Hillary never got it. That's why she lost. Anything else?
You know, do you know which reporter that was?
It's I don't.
Kind of sounded like Jim Acosta.
It might have been.
But yeah, that's why listening to Hillary Clinton every day when she makes these headlines, it reminds me why she did not win the presidency. And you know, it's really tough. At least some of the Democrat commentators on television, or maybe some of the moderates, they at least admitted that Dianne Feinstein shouldn't have leaked the letter, or someone around her shouldn't have leaked the letter. And they also admit that the Democrats are using unappetizing tactics at times. But Hillary Clinton totally skims over all the faults of her own party.
Of course.
And blames the Republicans for going after women.
I have another Hillary clip that I think is just as almost hilarious. Hillary Clinton is calling for civility in Washington. She is. Listen to this. This is cut 10.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
There you have it.
She just said what we've all said the Democrats are doing here, and that is to disrupt, protest, scream, intimidate until they get power again.
Yeah.
And then everyone needs to be civil.
And then everybody, once we're in power and everything's going our way, then stop fighting.
Fred, that sounds like an endorsement of clawing at the Supreme Court door, shouting at the cops in the face, posting the addresses and phone numbers of the Republican senators. We can do all that until we get power.
Yeah, I think I would like to ask Hillary Clinton, going into a restaurant and disrupting dinner that, you know, the latest example was Ted Cruz and his wife. Mm-hmm. They go in and a bunch of protesters who are all probably a good guess would be Democrat Party supporters. Does she call that civility?
Right.
Going in and doing that. The screaming and the hollering. The paid protesters that we saw, you know, that attacked Jeff Flake in the elevator there.
Right.
We found out that it was a paid protester.
Mitch McConnell at the airport, one of the ladies came up to him.
All of that. You know, Hillary Clinton, you know, we talked about people that need to just go home and spend time mm-hmm. with their grandchildren. That's what Hillary Clinton should do.
Yeah.
She really should.
But her, on a more cynical note, her presence in the Democrat Party really is a gift to Republicans.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we saw in 2016, She obviously couldn't. She got the majority of the popular vote, but she couldn't energize the people in the right states to get the Electoral College votes. But Steve, you know, some are saying, and some polls are showing, that this whole, you know, Brett Kavanaugh thing might boomerang on the Democrats, and you're starting to see people like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham start to fight against the Democrats.
It is. It did anger them, and it angered the Republican and the conservative base. My belief is that the anger that we've been seeing on the left has been baked in for a while. I mean, since President Trump took office, the anger on the left has just been, you know,
no matter what he
spinning,
does.
No matter what he does. Right. And so it's kind of hard. To me, you get all these polls about generic votes for Congress. What would you vote, Republican or Democrat? And the Democrats have kind of had an edge in that because of the anger has been baked in. But now, I don't think it's possible for the left to get a whole lot more angry than it's been for 2 years.
Right.
And now you have Republicans on the heels of the mistreatment of Brett Kavanaugh saying, wait a minute, we're not going to be the party, the passive party of you know, let's calm down.
Yeah,
we have some anger as well. It has struck me that every time so far in the public that I've heard somebody saying, you know what, this is getting out of hand, we need to step back, we need to be more civil, it's Republicans that are saying it in the Senate, which is frustrating.
And they're the ones facing oftentimes the hostility from the left.
I know, and it just goes, I mean, I think that there's good intention behind some of those. They do miss the days of civility when the Senate was supposed to be a house of reason.
Right.
But
what conservatives are saying, to your point there, is that the Democrats obviously want to fight. They want to fight for power, and if you just sit back and wish for the good old days of bipartisan, you know, where everybody agreed on most things, then those days are gone.
Well, they'll come back once the Democrats have power, and then you'll hear Democrats saying, now it's time to, let's be civil. You know, here's our Democrat platform. Get in line, Republicans, and let's start supporting this.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. Hey, so now the question is, who's going to replace Nikki Haley?
Yeah, that's a good question. I joked with Rob Chambers this morning and said we need Frank Gaffney as our next UN ambassador. So I'm not sure he'd be up for it or not. I haven't even talked to him, but you know, we hear his spots on AFR a lot, and he would make a great one.
In the newsroom, Billy is said immediately it's going to be Kanye West because he's at the he's at the White House today. But actually, someone's floating seriously out there that it might be Ivanka. Now, probably not, but this is from Politico. They're saying Ivanka for UN ambassador, why not? And their point is Trump is all unpredictable. But what they are showing is that yesterday, Ivanka Trump on her Twitter feed started following a whole bunch of foreign policy things. All of a sudden, on the same day, she started following the American Legion, Stars and Stripes, NASA, the Defense Department, Navy SEALs, DARPA, the Army Chiefs of Staff. She's boning up on her foreign policy stuff. And by the way, I should say, Nikki Haley is way much impressed with Jared Kushner. She thinks he is the genius behind Trump's foreign policy and points to the NAFTA renegotiations and what he's doing in the Middle East. It could be him.
Yeah, Fred, I think it's from what I know, it's legal to appoint a family member. But I'm just not sure that would be viewed very, very favorably.
Politically, no. If I was ever asked my opinion, I would like to see John Bolton or a John Bolton.
Someone that John Bolton approves of.
Approves of. Yeah. One name that just kind of came to my mind that would be good and strong is Mike Huckabee. I think he would follow in the footsteps of Nikki Haley when it comes to the issues that are important to conservative Christians, support of Israel, that sort of thing. And Mike Huckabee, hey, listen, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I watch her, Mike Huckabee's daughter, how she performs in front of the enemy every day at the White
enemy
House.
Of the people.
And she handles herself remarkably. Yeah. And I often remark, she's a chip off the old block.
Yeah.
Mike Huckabee is of that same demeanor.
Yeah.
He can handle rough situations, and I think he'd be a great candidate.
Yeah, and you know, we talked the first hour about voting and why it's important to vote. And really, this whole partisan battle over which people President Trump gets to nominate to various positions in the administration is really, this is the first time I can remember it being such an issue, because in prior administrations, both Republicans and Democrats, whoever the president was, in large part, they approved of his nominees.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're talking people like UN ambassador need to go through the Senate for approval. And if the Democrats are bent, if you will, on stopping anyone and everyone that President Trump nominates, I mean, you could have some of these key positions like UN ambassador held open if Democrats take control of the Senate.
I think there was a time when the differences between Democrats and Republicans was not as stark as it is today. There is a total worldview difference today. Mm. It goes back to Barack Obama when he was running for president in 2007, 2008. He wanted to change the country and change the world.
Hmm.
He was a disciple of Saul Alinsky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saul Alinsky was all about revolution.
Right.
And so now you have a Democratic Party that wants to change this country. And so the battle is now, no, there are good things about this country we want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want it to be a socialist nation, which is what Barack Obama was attempting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, Obamacare was all about socialism.
Right.
So I think that divide is going to remain, and you're going to have this kind of ideological divide continue, because the Democrats want to change this country. They want to take it, I think, in a very anti-Christian direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kinds of people that, when I think of Cory Booker, when I think of Kamala Harris and others who want to be the next president of the United States for the Democrats, these are people who want to follow in the footsteps of Barack Obama.
Right. Right.
And that divide is going to stay and deepen.
All right, Steve, what you got next?
I want to take us across the sea for a second to Pakistan. There is a Christian woman there who is facing some dire straits. Her name is Asiya Bibi, and if you want to read a little bit about her fate, we'll talk about it now, but One News Now has had several stories about her. You can look there and kind of get the background on this. Her lawyers were in front of Pakistan's Supreme Court arguing for her not to be hanged to death. Let me read you what she did in her words from her biography, and this is the what she's facing. She on June 14th, 2009, she set out to the fields near her house to take part in a berry-picking harvest for which she would be paid about $3 a day. She described a climate of open hostility towards her, the women she worked with, because she was part of the country's Christian minority. Asiya Bibi, around midday, dehydrated and sweltering in the sun, Bibi walked to a nearby well to have a drink of water. After she refilled the bucket a second time, a woman screamed, "Don't drink the water, it's haram, unclean." According to Bibi's account, the shouter later then turned to a dozen other women in the field and said, "Listen, all of you, this Christian has dirtied the water in the well by drinking from our cup and dipping it back several times. Now the water is unclean and we can't drink it because of her."
Mm.
The argument intensified, and the women called on Bibi to convert to Islam to redeem herself. Then she fired back in the sentence which is now the reason that she's in prison. She said to the women, "What did your prophet Muhammad ever do to save mankind?"
Wow. I feel like I'm listening to a Bible story.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
After this, the women started screaming, spitting at her, physically assaulting her. She ran home. Less than a week later, she went fruit picking in another field, was confronted by a rioting crowd, and this led by the woman who had initially shouted at her. The crowd surrounded her, beat her, and took her to the village, screaming, "Death, death to the Christian." The imam charged her with insulting.
These are the stories that need to be told, and that's why we're covering it here on today's issues, because, you know, people, the media at times paints these majority Muslim countries as peaceful places, as freedom-loving places, as places that we need to try to aspire to be like, but some of them, these are horrible situations that if you're a Muslim, things might go great for you, but if you hold any other viewpoint, not just Christian, any dissenting viewpoint, you are persecuted and oftentimes jailed, and in this case, she might be facing death. She is facing death,
yeah,
to this point, unless they're able to appeal her case, but that just shows, Fred, the religious freedom, and maybe we'll try to get Tony Perkins, who's head of the one of the Religious Freedom Commissions that President Trump began. But these this issue of religious freedom in America and abroad is really taking a forefront.
You know, it's interesting. It seems whenever these stories come up that it's Christians that are being persecuted. Now, we have, you know, cases in some of the Islamic countries where ICE has persecuted other Muslims. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it is Christians around the world. In China, it is Christians that are having their churches torn down.
Mm-hmm.
In countries, in mostly Islamic countries like Pakistan, in Indonesia, to a certain extent, even in India now, where mm-hmm. Christians are being persecuted. And so we need to pray for this wonderful woman who was willing to take a stand. And really what she said was the truth.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the opening to witnessing. What has Muhammad ever done for you? I know someone who has.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we need to pray for her and the many Christians around the country that are facing persecution. It's one of the reasons, guys, too, that we have to be alert in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look back from the time that your dad or your granddad started this ministry, Walker, to where we are today, I think if you talked to Brother Don back in the 60s and 70s, he would not have been aware of what Christians are facing, certainly, or would have been exposed to what Christians are exposed to today in this country. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the Kleins, and I'm thinking about Baronelle Stutzman, and I'm thinking about your
Jack friend, Phillips.
Jack Phillips in Colorado. Christians are being persecuted in this country. The fire chief in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
On and on it goes. Christians are facing persecution in this country.
Yeah, and the point that some people who disagree with us bring up is that, you know, this is not persecution. Look at what's happening overseas. And that's true. It's not as bad as what this lady's experiencing. But our point is we don't need to go that direction at all, because one thing leads to another. And I know it's a long path, but you look ahead 20, 30, 40 years. And if our country continues to break down and we continue to allow a little bit of persecution here, a little bit there, then we may be to a point where Miss Davis in Kentucky is put in jail because she won't sign a marriage license, which actually happened 3 years ago.
Well, the state of Washington with Baronelle Stutzman, the florist there, the Christian mm-hmm. florist, they want her house.
Right.
Just because she did not, and I always have to remind people, she didn't refuse to wait on homosexuals who came in her store.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, her story is she was friends with homosexuals who came in her store for years, sold them flowers on their birthdays. What she refused to do was participate
in the wedding,
in their homosexual wedding.
Which is what happens whether you're a baker or a florist. It's not just coming in and checking somebody out at the register. If you agree to do a wedding, you have to deliver the flowers, set them up, make sure everything's right. So,
exactly.
Like you said, it's more than just selling. Steve, you got one more story?
I just want, following this, I'm going to pass on what I was going to say. I'll just say that we are going to be updating our website today on what's happening, the fallout from the Nikki Haley resignation. You're going to be hearing that all day on AFR and then tomorrow as well. And everything else that's going on as the storm approaches Florida, we're on top of all of that.
All right, Steve, thanks for coming in. Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
All right, as I mentioned yesterday, onenewsnow.com. Subscribe to the daily email news brief. Also, you can get push notifications from onenewsnow.com. And you can bypass the mainstream media, onenewsnow.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's issues, American Family Radio. Alistair Begg, Janet Mefford Live, Brian Fisher, many more great shows coming your way.